Do you know a high schooler who is a natural leader and loves to give back to their community? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Student Visionaries of the Year program might be the perfect opportunity. Forming strong teams to support them, Student Visionaries of the Year candidates fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This 7-week philanthropic leadership development program helps students gain valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Not to mention, it looks great on college applications. But most importantly, it's a chance for students to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. Learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at dell.com/welcometonow. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Thursday, March 21st, and we are here trying to help you make great, better, less bad financial decisions. And sometimes those decisions are really guided by what's going on in your real life. And we get that. I'll tell you something that I've learned over all these years, that the folks who are trying to give you the optimized financial answer to your question, it doesn't take into account that you're a human being. And we like the fact that you're a human being, flaws and all. And so I am always happy to be able to tell you that sometimes the best financial decision is not the best decision for your life. And we get that. So you're more than just your balance sheet, okay? It's like my friend Christine says on Peloton, what did she say? She says, you're bigger than a smaller pair of pants, which I love, which is a great thing to remember. Like, you're not just a bunch of metrics. You're not just a balance sheet. You're not a net worth. You're a human being. And we want to hear from all of you human beings, flaws and all. So go to our website, jillonmoney.com. Click the contact us button. Write us a note. Let us know if we can help you out. And if you'd like to come on the air live. While you're on the website, don't forget, we've got all sorts of content there. And we've got a YouTube show. It's called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. We are developing all new things for that channel. It's so exciting. If you have an investing bug, meaning you have a fun money account, you want to learn more about investing, I encourage you to listen to The Compound and Friends. It is both a YouTube show as well as a podcast. And my friends, Josh Brown and Michael Batnick, co-hosted, and they do a kind of like a deep dive into some of the weeds. A funny thing happened, Mark, that I just will bring you up on the microphone for a moment to tell you about this. You know, I listen when I'm in the car, I'm driving the girls out, and meaning my dogs, and sometimes Jackie meets me later. And I was driving the girls out, I was listening to The Compound and Friends. And so when she got in the car, there was like this deep dive conversation about something in the investing world, very wonky. She's like, you listen to this? I said, yes, I do like this stuff. She goes, I don't even understand how you like it. She goes, I understand how you like the people part, not this part of it. So it is fun. And you know, you never know what like rings people's bell, right? So anyway, if you have that investing bug and you want to scratch it, check out The Compound and Friends. And we don't care where you're from. Although, Mark, what happened recently? Did you offend somebody again? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, a few months ago, I offended people down in the Lone Star State, the great state of Texas. I think I said, you know, you couldn't pay me to live there or something along those lines. And that drew quite the response. And yes. I apologize. I did apologize to everybody in Texas. I love Texas. I've been there many times. I just don't want to live there.
Okay.
And then recently, I don't know, a month or two ago, we were talking about like the cost of education,
yes,
student loan debt. And,
yes.
And I think I said like, you know, just be smart about it. Don't go and take out all the student loan debt if you're going to go get like a stupid art history degree.
And
then someone responded and took me to school on the value of an art history degree, and then how many of those people end up being curators at some of the world's greatest known museums.
How'd you feel about that? You felt bad. You know, we don't want, you know what? we're trying to set expectations, first of all. So I think that the while I am a huge lover of art, and I think being an art history major is fantastic, it's tough to go out and get a job to be a curator at one of the world's great museums. And so we just want people to know that, you know, you just have to be careful about the amount of debt you accumulate to get those coveted degrees, right? And so we love art.
Yeah, I will no longer use art history as the example. I will use journalism.
Okay, yeah, exactly. That's a better one because it's our field. By the way, I made a similar boo-boo when I was trying to sell the first book. I think you know the story, Mark, where I said, I was talking about the college chapter. And I said, you know, for example, why would anyone take out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of debt to go to blank, blank university? And one of the people at the table went to that university. Very bad. So that's why I say don't take out piles of debt to go to Wassamata U private university. You know, anyway, we just want you to take on the debt that you can actually afford to return and pay back. All right. We have now waited far too long to get to listener Lynn, who's on the line from the Midwest. Lynn, did you go to an expensive college undergraduate?
State school for me.
All right. And was that because you had no other choice, meaning that like your parents were like, you're going to state school, Lynn, tough luck? Or were there real options that you were weighing?
No, I was paying for it myself, so there were no other options.
There is a self-made woman right here on the line with us. Well, Lynn, welcome to the program. How can we help you out today?
Well, we have some really good news happening in our life. We're selling our business, and lo and behold, we're able to get $1.1 million for it. And we're in our late 40s, early 50s, and just kind of need some guidance as to what to do with it, whether to pay off the house. I already know your answer, I think, or to invest in a brokerage account, or maybe use it to do some backdoor Roths with what we already have. So just kind of need your guidance.
This is exciting. This is so exciting. So the sale of the business, will that mean you're retiring, or is that a sale of the business and continuing to work?
Continuing to work. Have a my husband doesn't like to sit still, so he not only replaced it with one other full-time job, but two full-time jobs, all working kind of from home, very flexible, and just something he loves to continue to do. And I'm working alongside him. So,
oh, that's awesome. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
On the sale of the business, I'm sure there'll be some taxes that are due. What will the net amount to you guys be?
We believe $875,000 because of a 25% capital gains.
Okay. Well, you know what? You made a lot of money. Good. I'm glad you had a capital gain. Now, if I look at the two of you, your combined income after the sale of this business, what is that? What do you think? And be conservative.
Definitely like $665,000 a year.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened.
Well, it's great. It's an embarrassment of riches. Fantastic. Right. So that's great. Holy smokes. Okay. So that's a lot of moolah. Congratulations. Also, like, it sounds like you're completely self-made, so this is amazing. The game plan. What is it that you guys really would like to do?
There's a health condition. It's something kind of concerning. It's not something that my husband's going to die from, but rather die with. Mm-hmm. I would love for him to be, as you say, one bad meeting away from chucking it all, if he wants to, which I don't think he ever will, but it sure would be nice for him to have the option because he works so hard.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So I don't know, maybe 55, 56. Youngest will be out of the house at that point. So maybe we could do some traveling or something.
That sounds great. How many kids do you guys have?
3, 22, 16, and 11.
11 and 16-year-olds. Do you have money saved for college for them, or what are you thinking?
Probably around, I want to say, $9,000 for the 16-year-old, around $35,000, $40,000 for the 11-year-old. There are reasons there. The 16-year-old, he's Mensa. He's going to have scads of scholarships. The child will go wherever he wants.
Wow.
Yeah, truly.
But, okay. You know, you're not giving me that, like, oh no, he's no, but you're like, no, no, this is
no,
for
no,
real.
This okay. is this. He scares me in my sleep sometimes.
Oh my gosh,
right. He's just that
okay.
smart.
All right, and the 11-year-old has a bunch of money. Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
okay, so right now, Lynn, you make a pile of money. Do you have any idea of how much you need to, like, what are we going to target in terms of what do you need in terms of expenses? If we do figure out how to get you to slow down at age 55 or so, you know, 5, 6, 8 years, mm-hmm. how much do we need to produce an income every year?
You know, if we still have a mortgage, you know, maybe $15,000 a month, conservatively.
Okay. And will you, either of you, be entitled to a pension?
Unfortunately, no pensions here.
Okay. So Lynn from the Midwest, you got this $875, but you have a bunch of other money that you have saved. So how have you saved thus far before the $875 input there?
So combined pre-tax is about $1.3 million.
Okay.
And that's made up of $385 in a simple IRA, $908 in an IRA rollover, $20,000 in an individual 401k, mm-hmm. and $27,000 in a Roth.
Okay. So the 1.3 pre-tax, what's going to happen once you sell your business? Will your retirement plan change also? I don't know if you had other, if you had employees. No. Okay. So what's the primary way that you save for retirement right now? In the simple?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes. Okay. Because it was through the business. We had SEPs and all the things.
Okay. So, but 1.3 is pre-tax and then a little bit is Roth, right?
Yeah. Very small amount.
Okay. Small. All right. What about a brokerage account?
Nothing yet.
Okay. Got it. And what about money in cash? Just like savings, checking, CDs?
Between 20 and 50,000, depending on if we...
20 to 50,000, depending on if we're living large.
Well, yeah. We like to travel.
Where's the last great place you went?
India.
I want to do that.
That's amazing.
We're talking about it next year. Hold on. Let me just figure this out for you first. Okay.
Okay.
So house, you said you've got a house with a mortgage. What is the house worth?
About $875.
Okay. And the mortgage that is outstanding?
It is now $541,000 at a 5.75.
So you bought it recently?
Yeah, last summer.
That's okay. You love it? You're going to keep it?
I think so. It's big. We could sell it. We could keep it. We don't know yet.
Like, we kind of got to figure out. We have 10 more years before this 11-year-old gets through college.
Yeah.
So, right?
I'd say we'll probably keep it.
Okay. Fair enough. And what else do we need to know about? Do you have parents who are aging?
All in their 80s, all somewhat local, all in good health.
Financially?
Yes, they're all very stable. And we have all of our documents in place.
Oh, well done. Well done, lady.
I've been listening.
If your husband has a health condition, I presume, does he have insurance, life insurance, or is that no? Does he get rated? What happens?
Yeah, so he has $2 million in term up to age 59. And I recently found in preparation for this call that I also have another $1 million on him that was a variable universal life. And I can't believe I did that. And
Don't worry.
Okay, I'm still paying for it, too.
Okay. Okay. What? Tell us about the VUL. So just so everyone understands, I sold a bunch of VUL in the day. I want to tell you why. Because in the 90s, the capital gains rate was the same as the ordinary income tax brackets. So variable universal life was actually a good product. I don't know, you probably didn't buy it in the 90s, I understand, but I'm going to take you off the hook anyway.
Oh, thank
so
you.
On the $1 million on his life, is there a cash value in that variable universal life policy?
It is. It doesn't have a high value right now, but it is until death, I think, $982,000, something like that.
Yeah, but there should be something that says cash value. Like right now, there should be some amount that says, if you blew out this policy, here's the cash value.
I want to say it was under $1,000.
Oh, okay. When did you buy it?
2009-ish, 2010-ish.
Huh. All right. We're going to get more information about that. Okay. There should be something that's called surrender value. Okay. What you're seeking to find out is what would it cost you to just get the money out of this policy and stop paying for it. Now, since you already have the term life, I'm not worried. If you didn't have the term and this was the only insurance we could get for your husband, then I might be worried. Then I might say, let's keep it, even though it's expensive insurance. But you have $2 million of term that will take him until he's age 59. That's awesome. That's fine. Okay. So that's your, that's a little bit of your homework. Okay.
Thank you.
Next. So right now on this just massive boatload of money, how much money do you think you could save? What's your free cash flow from that 665? What do you think you can save on a monthly basis?
I mean, if we had to, probably $20,000.
I don't want to say if you had to. Like, what do you think is comfortable? Comfortable saving?
I think 15 would be nice.
15 grand or 50?
One five
a month?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you can save that. Okay.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. All right. 15 grand a month savings easily. Mark, come on the air and just tell us what you're thinking about this mortgage. So, Mark, there's a $541,000 mortgage at 5.75%. And Lynn from the Midwest wants to use a portion of the net proceeds of the sale of the business to pay down the mortgage. So, what's the answer?
You know, even though it's a pretty high mortgage rate compared to what we're used to hearing, it's still lower than my current mortgage rate. I wouldn't do it. I still wouldn't do it. Even though my mortgage is 6.25, I feel no urge to try and pay it off early.
I think that you're going to probably, Lynn, have a chance to either pay it down early or potentially refinance it. And you'll know more information over the course of the next bunch of years. Okay. But I'm inclined to agree with Mark because I like you having access to this 875. Mm-hmm. I like you seeding, like planting the little garden of your brokerage account. And I think that you take that 875, that's the beginning of your brokerage account, and then you are adding 15 grand a month in there every year while you guys are working. And if your money is piling up like crazy, you're like, Jill, this is nuts. Our emergency reserve is now swelling to 100,000. Then you can just pop some extra money into that brokerage account. But I think that for all intents and purposes, if we have, early 50s, so 55, we have 6 years to get a lot of money saved. This will give you the opportunity at least to maybe say, I mean, in your life, do you think you could go from 665 to zero? Or do we think that it'll be like, well, maybe it's 665 a year. And then in our 50s, it'll go to three or, you know, or is it an all or nothing kind of business? Or could you ramp down a bit?
A possibility to ramp down very easily. Yes.
Okay. So here's my game plan. If assuming you agree with this, I would very much think that investing that 875 makes a ton of sense. Number one. Adding 15 grand a month also makes a ton of sense. Are you making contributions to the 11-year-old's education account or not?
Yeah, you know, 150 a month here and there. Yeah.
Of the 875, you know, I think you could put $36,000 in right now into the 11-year-old's account, 18 each. So that would be like your husband and you are each putting 18 grand into the 529 right now. Each that will be under the gift tax allowance, do the same thing next year. And then you're pretty much done. You know, we'll see where the 11-year-old goes. So I would do that. The rest goes in the brokerage account, adding the 15 grand a month. And, you know, listen, I think you have a bunch of money. You don't have so much money that we can easily generate 15 grand a month for, you know, age 55 to 70 till you get or 67.
Right.
We need to save money to get you there.
Okay.
Okay. So it doesn't, you're going to, it's amazing. But, you know, as a rule of thumb, when people say to me like, well, what do you think about this? You know, what we're thinking is, Mark, if you say they'll have, let's say by the end of 2024, they're going to have probably $2.5 million saved. That's probably right. Right. Mm-hmm. So what we try to look at is we say, okay, that $2.5 million will grow. Then you're going to continue to put 15 grand a month away and you're going to continue to make retirement contributions. So all of that together, I think over the next 5-6 years is going to get you to a pretty decent place. I don't know, Mark. Should I give my guess? It depends on markets, but let's say, is 4 million about right?
Yeah, I came closer to 5.
Oh, see, because I probably use that. You like Mark's answer better?
I love that.
Okay, so of 5 million at the time, that's about 150 grand a year. Yeah, so I mean, you're close. But, you know, listen, if you have $5 million in 5 or 6 years, okay, now this is a good heat check for yourselves. Like if it were 3.5 million because the market's collapsed, you would say, well, I don't want to feel like scaling back right now. You're going to feel that. But if it's 5 million, you might be like, I could cut this business in half. It's no problem. And we'll take it easy. We'll live large. And you don't even have to deal with like so much extra money coming out of your portfolio. You just would be taking, maybe just wouldn't save as much. You know, if you said, I'm going to live instead of 665 a year, we're going to live on 300 grand a year. And now we don't need to save 15 grand a month. Like that could all easily happen. But I think that while you're making this much money, I would aggressively put the money into a brokerage account. I would make sure that you are, you know, almost automating it, because it sounds like you're not used to making this much money so quickly. And so we want to get that money in there. And how are you feeling about investing on your own? Is that something you feel good about? Do you feel a little nervous about it? Do you need some help?
I think I'm great with a brokerage account. All of our other assets are managed through Schwab. And, you know, we're actively managed. We're paying for that. But through brokerage, I feel great. And what mix would you recommend?
It's 5 or 6 years, right? How's your risk tolerance? Like, what do you feel? Tell me about how you guys handle risk.
Super aggressive.
You are? I love that about you. I mean, you could go 70 in U.S., 10 in international. You can go 15 in a bond index, 5 in commodities, maybe. That would be fine. Okay. But I wouldn't go crazy. I think you're awesome. I'm glad you have your documents. It's a great story. It's a great, great story. And congratulations. And find out about the variable universal life. But otherwise, you're in fantastic shape. Good luck with a Mensa 16-year-old. That sounds scary to me.
He's amazing. Thank you all so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. If you, like Lynn, are all of a sudden awash in cash, well, hey, we'd love to help you out. Just go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and let us know if you would like to join us on the air. If you're not awash in cash and you've got some problems, don't judge Lynn. She's self-made. She did this from nothing. And she sounds as surprised as you are to hear it. So if you've got something problematic in your financial life, you can also get in touch with us. Just go to JillOnMoney.com, Contact Us button. It's right there for you. Follow you wherever you go. Don't forget to subscribe to Jill on Money Live if you want access to those webinars that were done last year and this year as well. $35 will get you part of the community of Jillionaires. Get it? Jillionaires. Anyway, you can subscribe to us wherever you find your favorite podcast or on the Odyssey app. Do me a favor and do something nice for someone else today. That person is going to feel good and you are going to feel so great for doing that. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.